Extracts from a Radio Merseyside programme interviewing Pat Sykes and John Kane in April 1980.
Listening with a broadening smile on his face to us talking about him in the third person as though he weren't around at all. John, I'm sure it's time for you to get a word in edgeways. You've heard a lot of criticism about your work, a lot of ignorance about your work, but also many, many tributes to your work. Do you describe yourself as a healer?
Yes, but not as a faith healer. I'm purely a spiritual healer, or you could call me a healing therapist, because I use many methods of healing, including acupressure and yoga-type healing. Faith healing, a person heals themselves. In this case, it's done through a higher intelligence, which I believe comes from the spirit world, or God, call it what you will.
So you don't make any claim about having a special power from
God? No, I make no special claims whatsoever.
Other people, I think, though, Pat, probably make these sorts of claims on John's behalf.
Well, I think it's bound to happen, because I think spiritual healing is an unorthodox method of treating people, and it's a controversial subject. I don't believe that healing, that John Kane's type of healing, is new. I believe it's as old as the earth itself. I believe that it has got swamped by modern technology, by modern medical science. People have been healing for many, many years before John came around, but he is now coming back into notice, if you like, because people are now realizing that they cannot get the help for their ailments which they thought would come about with modern science and modern medical science.
Well, let's clear up one point, if we may, and that is with regard to religion, and particularly Christian religion. Are you in any way motivated by Christian religion, John? Are you a Christian?
I'm not a Christian, no. I believe in God. In fact, I'll go further. I'll say I know there's a God. I've felt his presence. I think I've been very fortunate there.
And what about you, Pat? Are you a Christian
by
definition?
Well, I was brought up in the Church of England faith. I have been confirmed. I attended church regularly as a girl. I went to a convent, actually a Roman Catholic convent, although I'm not a Roman Catholic. So I think you can say that I've had a fairly good insight into religion. I don't attend church now, but that doesn't mean to say that I don't believe.
So you will have looked then at John's work in perhaps a slightly different way then?
I did not investigate John Kane in comparison with Christian healing. There was no attempt at all to do that.
Well, Pat, when you went along to meet him, and when you went to write this book, did you go completely objectively, or did you go, and I have to ask this, did you go like perhaps many journalists would go on these occasions, to do a knocking story?
No, I didn't actually. I went along with my curiosity aroused. I didn't know a great deal about spiritual healing. I knew nothing at all about John Kane, other than this fact that I told you about, this conversation I'd had with somebody. And I had seen a little film made about him, an amateur film made about him, and I had got this idea of him vaguely at the back of my mind, that he existed. So I went along actually with curiosity, and when he took me into a side room with one of his helpers and then proceeded to tell me where I had pain in my body. For instance, I was at that time suffering from a painful shoulder.
They told you? You didn't
John
have to
told me. I didn't say a
explain.
Thing. He also told me that I had a pain in my right thumb, which was absolutely true, because it was bothering me. With being a writer and with doing a lot of typing, it was a nuisance. Now, he didn't actually touch my body at all. He just, I think his hands were probably a few inches above my body. He told me afterwards that areas of pain are indicated by vibration. I certainly believe that we have a magnetic field around us, and that it's possible for vibrations to exist.
Well, can we go right back to the very beginning, John? When did you realise that you had this power? Was it as a child?
As a child, from the age of about 6 years old. I used to attend animals then, and also the mother and other people in the family, you know, and give them healing through a type of massage. And it used to produce these results, and then I went on to join boxing clubs and judo clubs and massage the boxers or the judo men, whatever they may be.
As a physiotherapist, really?
Yes, and it was healing taking place, and I thought it was all being done through massage and form of manipulation.
You say then, as a small child, first of all, you realised that you had something. What was it like? Can you remember literally your very first experience of recognising that there was perhaps, was it something coming out of your hands?
I think it was just a sympathy for people who had pain. And I think that's about all I felt in them days.
Yes. Did others recognise it, though? Other members of your family?
Yes.
They recognised
mm-hmm.
that you were a little bit special for some reason or another?
Well, I suppose every mother thinks the son's special anyway.
Yes, but she doesn't necessarily think that her son has the power to heal an injured animal or another member of the family. So, you then went on, and I think you became a professional blacksmith, did you not?
That's correct.
So, when did you change life style altogether to become a full-time healer?
I think in the year 1971, when I fully realised I had the gift of healing.
And how did that come about?
Oh, by sitting in a spiritualist church in Rock Ferry. I sat for about 5 weeks. I've been told over the last 20 odd years that I had the gift of healing. And I just felt motivated to call at a house one day where I'd heard of a sick child. And I went along and treated that child every day for about 6 months.
You just felt motivated?
Mm-hmm. I was almost driven there. But I couldn't explain how, you know. I was just driven to the house.
So when you went in to see this child, as whenever you go to see a sick person, what happens? What do you feel inside and what do you do?
I don't feel a great deal other than pity. I get quite emotional. All I did do in them days, it's died down now, you know.
So you take each individual just as another case?
You could say that. Mm.
Without any great feeling of sympathy or
warmth, I still have a great sympathy for everyone who comes along for healing.
So is there no question about you going into a trance or calling on a spirit?
I occasionally do go into trance, but it's very occasional.
And what about the physical aspect? What do you do? Do you actually touch people?
It's about half and half. I treat as many as 40, 50 people in one session. I'll try to explain. I use Bromborough Civic Centre to do the healing every Wednesday evening. I put 40 beds down. I don't touch any of them patients to start off. All I do, I kneel in front of them. I probably go into a light altered state of consciousness, raise my hands, and I would say within 10 seconds, every one of those 40 people are in an altered state of consciousness, and the healing then begins.
And this is a form of hypnotism, is it?
No, it's not a form of hypnotism, which has been ruled out by some of the world's leading scientists and doctors. It's very similar to a hypnotic state. The patient is still open to suggestion, but it is completely different in some way. And the only way I can describe this, the patients who have, say, got an arthritic knees or arms, their arms, their legs will start to move about and be manipulated by unseen hands without any suggestion whatsoever. And the patient has got no control over this whatsoever.
Talking to John about his healing work. Now, you have these clinics, John, every Wednesday evening at the...
At Bromborough Civic Centre.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a public meeting.
Public to everybody,
mm-hmm.
including just observers.
Observers are also welcome.
Do you get many observers as such?
Depends, week to week.
You probably will after a radio broadcast.
Around about 100 every Wednesday evening.
Yes. Now, do you charge for these?
I don't charge.
Not at all?
I only work on a voluntary donation.
Does this not make actually living rather difficult then, or do most people contribute?
Well, I do make a living out of it. I don't make a lot of money. I could do if I charged. I could probably be a millionaire within the next 2 or 3 years if I did charge. But I'm not interested in money. As long as I can pay me bills, I'm quite happy.
In fact, I think that you did have to give up quite a bit in order to do this full time.
Yes, I gave up a very good business for the healing. But I wouldn't have been happy carrying on in business.
And what sort of business was it? What were you doing
in the
there?
Ship and engineer in smithing.
And you were quite prepared and quite happy to do this?
Very happy, and been happy ever since.
So what is in this for you, to put it quite crudely?
The reward, I say, is seeing people get better.
Well, where do you believe your power comes from?
From God.
From God?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same God, the Christian God?
There's only one God.
What about the people who do come, though, sceptically, cynically, and don't believe that you have this power?
Well, they're very welcome, and I don't think there's many people that I haven't been able to convince. Probably the wrong word is convince. But I don't think there's been half a dozen people who have been along to me and have been sceptical any longer. I welcome cynics and sceptics to come to me meetings.
Well, why do you feel you have this power? Why you?
Well, I think, I believe that before we're born there's a plan for every one of us on earth, and I just think that this is my job to do, to be a healer.
What about, then, the attitude of the medical profession and also of the local churches? Have you found friendliness, or have you found, in fact, more scepticism and cynicism?
I would say half and half again. I find a lot of the medical profession are quite happy to send patients along to me. I've treated many doctors, nurses, dentists and other people in the medical profession very successfully.
A certain local minister, however, did write that there were two forms of healing fairly recently.
There's only one form of healing, and all healing comes from God.
Decide on BBC Radio Merseyside, and our guests this afternoon are Pat Sykes, author of You Don't Know John Cain, and John Cain himself. John, we were talking before the sports news some little time ago about your successes. What about your failure rate, though? The number of patients or possible patients who come to visit you?
I would say there's only about 5% of people don't respond, and it is even difficult to say whether a measure of healing has taken place or not.
5%, which is a very small percentage of them.
I say they receive some type of benefit. I'm not talking about cures, I'm talking about benefit.
Yeah. Mm. Pat, what about in your investigations? Because I think when you wrote this book, it was deliberately not an objective book, but it was concentrating on the success stories of John.
Yes. I think we're really rather too much concerned nowadays with success and failure and not endeavour. As far as I'm concerned, endeavour means attempting to make the world we live in a better place. In the case of John Cain, anyway, it's certainly making the world a better place for people to live in who are sick, who for some reason or other cannot obtain benefit from the medical profession, from drugs, etc. They have tried everything. They come to John Cain. I could have included in the book a section that would have read something like, Mrs. So-and-so from so-and-so said she did not receive benefit from John Cain, but that she had only attended him twice. A lot of the people that I spoke to who had had this experience did not want me to print their names. Therefore, I did not think it justified to include an anonymous section in the book when the book was an objective look at John Cain's successes with sick people. I repeat, it was not an investigation into John Cain. It was a book I felt ought to be written about a man who was doing good work on Merseyside. I felt that at the beginning. I feel that now.
What about, then, the people who are cured? Can you, in fact, cure anybody, John?
I won't say I can cure anybody at all. I'll let them say whether they're cured.
Well, are you prepared to attempt to cure anybody?
Well, I do attempt to get some form of betterment in their health. We were just talking to Pat now about the book. I could have given cases which to fill that with what you could call miracle healings. But Pat took these herself, you know. She chose the people herself. I had nothing at all to do with it whatsoever.
Well, do you find that there are people who are sceptical and cynical who therefore are reluctant patients, and therefore would be more difficult.
I would say a good majority of them do come along sceptical, but I'm the last one they can come along to.
Yeah.
And as I say, we score roughly, I would say, about 95%.
Well, that is a quite staggering claim. If you have, what, 100 people a night? That sort of figure?
Well, you don't have 100 people every night at the centre, do you, John? Only at Bromborough Civic Hall, because it wouldn't hold that many, would it?
No, well, the rest of the time I work from home, and I see anything in between 60 and 100 people a day.
You do? So over a seven-day period, that'll be, let's say, let's be conservative, supposing you see 50 people a day, even.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something like 350 people in a week.
Yes.
And of those 350 people, no more than about 15 or 20 receive no benefit.
I would say so.
Well, what about those people who are disappointed? How do you feel that this affects them? Are you not perhaps offering something which is going to cause intense disappointment for those who don't receive any benefit?
Well, I don't offer them nothing at all. They ring me up and they say they'd like to come along. They say, do you think you can help me? I say, come along and I'll do my best. And I can do no more than that. And I most certainly do my best.
So,
I've got nothing against any religion whatsoever, but I just do not want to take part in it myself.
You don't want to take part in any formal religion?
No.
Do you have any formal ceremony at all? Do you call or invoke spirits or anything like this?
No, I don't.
And again, you smile quite broadly, John, when you say this. So what happens then? People come in, you give a little time to each one, or you give a good deal of time, depending on the degree of sickness?
I see a certain amount of people privately, which are usually terminal cases, on a Saturday, on a Monday and Tuesday afternoon. But I do select them myself, the people who are in real need.
How much is psychological then, do you think? How much of the healing is psychological?
It's very, very difficult to say, because most people that come along to me, they're physical, they're organic conditions. And psychologically, I would say that they do receive a lot of benefit.
Have you other members of your family, too, that carry on this tradition of healing, or this gift of healing? What about your own family?
My own son works with me, yes.
And he has the same sort of gift?
He does.
And when did you recognise this in him? How did you see it?
I would say about 5 years ago, when he came into the healing centre to help me.
And your wife, is she also involved?
She's very much involved with the mail and correspondence, yes.
And has she the same gift?
No, she hasn't the same gift.
But it is a gift. I mean, it's not something which you can just teach to somebody else.
Well, I'll say you've either got it or you haven't.
Pat, you were talking right at the beginning about being in this altered state, and John too referred to this fact. What was it like in the altered state? How were you?
Well, I didn't actually believe that John could alter my state of consciousness at all. I would think that was about the most cynicism I had when I went along to talk to him. I thought he could possibly heal, but I didn't think he could alter my state of consciousness. I thought nobody is going to interfere with my brain or consciousness. And I remember the very first time I was at Bromborough Hall. I went in the evening after I'd interviewed John in the morning. I went along to see what was going on. And I know it was towards the end of the evening session. I said to John, well, look, I've been talking to people. You better just see if... It was all done very casually. You better see if you can put me into this altered state. I wanted to experience it, you see. So I lay down on the mattress, and natural fact, John didn't come to me at all for a while. He asked one of his helpers just to relax me and put me down. And I know I relaxed, and my head went back onto the pillow, and I closed my eyes. And then someone took hold of my heels and lifted my ankles up, and I immediately felt a complete sense of detachment from the hall. And I tried to open my eyelids. So this is the, I think you'll find if you talk to people, this is the common thing. They all try to open their eyelids because they're all saying to themselves, no, I must open my eyes. And yet nothing was happening. I could not open my eyes, my eyelids at all, and I felt a wonderful sense of relaxation. I remember laughing out loudly, which must have been like a sense of relief from tension. Maybe I was a bit tense that day, but I know that it was a wonderful experience. And I don't know any other service that exists outside a hospital or outside a church. If somebody feels they can go into a church and get this kind of spiritual peace, that's all well and good. But there are a lot of people who don't go to church, and I don't know any other place where they could go and experience this wonderful feeling of relaxation. And as far as the general public are concerned, I think that in 1980 is a very real benefit to be able to relax.
Pat, we've been talking about you and your book and John and your work. Your book's called You Don't Know John Cain by Pat Sykes. It's published by Van Duren at £5.50. It's available pretty broadly at the moment. John, you are available for patients. You call people patients.
I do call them patients. Yeah. I can't think of any other word to use.
No, and if anybody wishes to go to see you, bearing in mind all which is likely to happen or may happen, you are at... Can we give your address?
Yes, certainly.
Number 20 North Road in Birkenhead, and at the Birkenhead, at the Bromborough Civic Centre. Well, people will have to make their own minds up. Thank you for your time, both of you, for coming in to talk to us as freely as possible. And certainly, whether you do heal by the power of God, by the power of the Spirit, may you continue to heal.
Thank you,
God. Give a lot of comfort to a lot of people.
Extracts from an interview between Clive Hopwood and John Cain in 1983, specifically done for the Manchester Healing and Peace Group.
Yeah, what I'm really trying to say is I think people should live it, really, and practice it, you know. Like your own group, for instance, where you get together every night, you live in it. And other people who come to a meeting, and that's it for the week. They don't bother with the absent healing. Some probably think it doesn't work well enough for them, so they leave it. And I think that's a mistake, you know. When you put the request, you know, I'll probably go on off track.
Okay. Yeah.
On the same one, if you want more on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the question was, how can the people involved in healing, patients, helpers and friends, improve the situation in the world around us? What sort of attitude should they take out to the world?
Well, they should take out a loving attitude in everything they do, really, you know. Even with people they don't particularly like, they should try and get to like them. It's like a person who gets on your nerves and they keep getting down your ear when you come to a meeting. And it is a bit annoying, but we've got to learn to understand these people because they want that need. You know, they need that extra little bite back down their ear holes.
Is this because you believe that love is a central, sort of central
thing? Oh, I think so, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. As I was saying before, when you get a young girl come in who's been bedridden for 3 years and carried in a nightdress, and we do a shakti for healing on her, and then she gets up and walks out, and she's still walking about today. Is that answering the question? It is, yes. And we've seen, you know, many healings done this way of people getting up and walking out. It'd be long if I said it doesn't normally happen, because it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But then again, you see, there's people raised anyway, and they're still receiving this energy.
Can you think of any other changes that have occurred in the healing since the John Cain Healing Guide was published, which is going back 3 years now?
Well, the only thing I can see that it has developed, and I think the books played a big part, people just reading about me and linking in with me and writing for absent healing, you know, and the bigger we get, the stronger it will become. And I think the Healing Guide's done a damn good job there. That's it. Right.
You were saying earlier that you felt that the fact that the healing was spreading in a sense to...
groups, yeah. Yeah, I think if we could get more of these groups who do it, you know, sincerely, on a real regular basis, it's involving me more, it's involving a lot more people, and it's just got to go from strength to strength, and especially in the smaller groups, you know, making stronger helpers.
What difference do you feel your own experience of serious illness made last year has made to your relationship with the healing?
I think it's made me far more sympathetic than I was. And as I say, I've never been frightened in my life, but this really did frighten me, and I can understand what a lot of people are going through. I think it had to happen to advance the healing again, and it's an experience I'm glad really I had, if this is going to benefit the healing.
Do you think it's fundamental that anybody who helps in the healing should also consider themselves patients? Do you think that the helpers, do you think it's important that they also are aware that they're patients as well as being helpers?
Oh, I think they should make themselves aware of that, yes.
What help did you find that your being a healer gave you last year during the time after your heart attack?
Well, I think what really happened, at the time of it, I didn't feel I wanted anybody to touch me. I just felt I needed the love, and that was sufficient. Because I was in so much pain, and I know that the laying on of hands is not absolutely necessary, and this is something else I learned. But when I was in hospital, I could feel a tremendous amount of love all the time, 24 hours a day. It was fantastic.
What directions, if you know of any, would you like to see, or do you see the healing taking from here?
Well, I can only see the chakra healing eventually completely taking over, by far more people being raised, you know, far more people wanting to give rather than to want to hold on to it, whereas now some are really wanting to hold on to these energies and keep it for themselves. Well, they've got to learn to direct this energy to other people, and everybody will get the benefit from it. And this can also be done at a distance, such as your own groups and people linking in at certain times. Does that answer it?
Yeah. How can patients, or what advice would you give to patients to best help themselves, to make them most receptive to the healing?
Well, I think they should involve themselves more, talk about it more, probably reread the books, talk to the helpers more. And just to generally get more involved, you know, try and totally get involved. And I'm sure this will bring about quicker and better healings.
Would you say there's any one thing that's the single most important thing for patients to bear in mind?
To think of other people and learn to totally relax themselves and send out that love that they're receiving.
What do you think actually happens during the group chakra healings that make it stronger than...
Well, it's a very difficult question to answer. All I know, I've seen it work, and I know it's far stronger than the general healing. I think it's the changes in the healing taking place, you know, the way it's going to come in the finish.
Some writers believe that everyone used to be able to heal and will again one day, though some will always be stronger channels than others.
I think everybody has a healing, some in one way or another. Even if you're a comedian and you can make people laugh, make some of these miserable buggers laugh, you know, I mean, that's healing. Or listening to music and being able to talk to people. You can heal in many, probably thousands of different ways. But I think the only channels that will become strong is such as the small groups we've got in and around the country, you know. And that's a difficult one to know.
And finally,
I don't want to be telling people what I really think of some of it, you know.
Finally, who or what do you think does the healing?
Well, I think it's a universal energy. I think it's something we learn, some of the natural law, not probably consciously, but unconsciously, and we're able to direct these energies.
Do you see yourself primarily as a channel rather than a source?
Yes, certainly, yeah. I think the source is God. Mm. Like Norman said, I don't think the two go together. I said, well, I think they do, because it's the same end product we're looking for. We're looking for peace, and until all the illness is gone, there is no peace. And until all the wars are finished, there's going to be no peace. And that's really the only way I can put it. but I think they'll bring far more people into the peace movement, and the peace movement into the healing, where it can eventually become one. And if everybody's thinking in that direction, which is positive and not negative, we've got to win in the finish, because God always overbeats evil, or badness, but I don't know if that word is. That it?
Yeah, that's great.
Interviews for the opening of the public hall in Lady Barn, 1st of September 1986, with Radio Manchester.
Main healing centre by the Manchester Healing and Peace Group. The registered charity originates from Liverpool when John Kane set up there as a healer. Well, one of the people who he cured of multiple sclerosis is Valerie Wooding. She's one of the organisers of the new Manchester branch, along with Jeff Rees. Well, today I've been talking to both of them. But first of all, Valerie Wooding explains what they're doing.
Well, fundamentally, it's just a hall in a community centre which will be open on Sunday evenings to make healing by the laying on of hands without religious connotations available to anyone who's interested in going along to receive it.
So why Manchester? Why have you picked this place?
Well, I've lived in Manchester, and when I was seriously in need of healing, I had to go as far as the Wirral to find a healer who didn't operate inside a religious context, which at that time was not acceptable to me. And from the very beginning, as soon as it started helping me, I realised that there was a need in every city for something like this, and now we have one in Manchester.
What was wrong with you?
I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. I was paralysed down my right-hand side, and loss of texture, loss of awareness of heat and cold.
And how long did it take for this miracle cure?
Mine was a slow miracle cure. I mean, it took about 4 months before I was actually standing up. But considering they said that I would never stand up again, I think that's not a very long time.
If you hadn't have gone along in the first place, you would never have known about anything like this?
No, I probably wouldn't have. It certainly at that time, it was not very accessible to the general public. It was before all those programmes on television and radio about this sort of thing.
Gareth, is it something like this that people tend to turn to after perhaps the medical aspect doesn't work anymore?
Yes, you do find this, that there are a lot of illnesses which the normal medical practitioner knows very little about and knows nothing about curing. And it's these types of things that healing is particularly good at.
How do people have the powers to cure other people like this, though?
Well, I think anybody has this power. It's accessible to anyone, but it's a matter of tuning into it, being aware of it, to start off with. It's something that's around. Right? We consider it a universal energy, but a person has to open themselves to it, and then they can pass it on to other people.
What about this business about building up people's hopes, false hopes?
Most of the people who come have arrived at a situation where they have no hope anyway. I think very, very few people come with high expectations. I mean, of the thousands of people I've seen go through the John Cain Healing Centre, I would say maybe only about three or four of them actually expected something to happen. So we have statistically in John's centre, they used to say that 95% of people benefited in some way. That is not to say that there is a cure promised or guaranteed, but simply that because healing operates by reducing the stress level in the body, that for anyone, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, even spiritual disorders, that the relaxation of the body at regular periods can help, even if it can't cure. So I don't think that there is anything in the accusation of raising false hopes, because in our publicity we're quite clear to state the fact that no cure is promised, that people turn up of their own free will, and obviously if they carry on turning up, then they're getting something out of it. If they don't come back, then they're not.
John Cain himself, I think, was investigated by people like the News of the World and that, and they couldn't find anything wrong with him. I mean, he did manage to do these miracle cures. He's since died, of course, and you're what, trying to carry on the work that he did for you in Manchester? Is that the idea?
Yes, John. Part of John's work was to create, not just to create help for the patients, but to create new healers. And by the time of his death, we already had operating in Manchester a group of healers who had been trained by him. So it was obvious and logical that we would continue the work after his death. I'm sure that's what he would have wanted.
But this is the actual first time you've gone public in Manchester, is it?
Yes, it is. We've had a small hall operating for several months now, getting enough practice and enough people together to form this larger thing.
People want to see results, don't they, when they come along to these things? I mean, you're only as good as the results that you give, aren't you?
Yes, I mean, obviously, if in 12 months' time we have no patients coming, then there won't be a hall. But the healing looks after itself from that point of view. People will receive... The whole principle of the healing is that it's channeled energy and it is drawn according to the patient's need. So it's not that the healer is dictating any change of course of events in the patient's life. If the patient is drawn to go to the healing, they will receive what they need. And if they keep coming back, then we keep working. If they don't keep coming back, obviously we don't.
Yes. Is it just a money-making exercise or not?
Absolutely not. I mean, we only accept voluntary contributions. Nobody makes a living out of this. Nobody accepts any money out of the charity. Not that there is actually any money in there to be accepted. But the idea is simply that the voluntary donations enable us to pay the £15 a week to keep the hall open. Mm. That's.
What's your own particular profession?
Since I became involved in the healing, I discovered that I was also interested in lots of forms of alternative medicine. I have, in fact, since trained as a hypnotherapist. I was originally a theatre director.
That was when you had, of course, the multiple sclerosis.
Yes, I had to give up working in the theatre at that point in time. And as yet, I felt no draw to go back to that.
How many people would you say that Cain, over in Liverpool, treated before he died?
I would say thousands. I mean, literally thousands.
What about when you see these sort of mass demonstrations? I mean, do they really work en masse or not?
Oh, yes. I've seen very, very few people go out of a healing hall not having, saying that they have experienced nothing.
Is it a form of religion?
Oh no, absolutely not. There's a space for those who believe in a religion of their own to come, but there is no religious form to the healing. So, I mean, it's not a healing service, it's simply a healing meeting. We believe that people's beliefs are personal to themselves, and our sole aim is to make healing accessible to everybody, regardless of their philosophical or religious beliefs.
So all will be revealed next Sunday?
I hope so, yes.
So there we are. If you've tried everything else, then maybe there's something in that. That's the John Cain Healing Centre, the Manchester Healing Group. And that's next Sunday at the Ladybarn Community Centre, Royal Street, off Ladybarn Lane, Bellafield in Manchester, 7:30 until 10 o'clock.
Let's give thanks to Thingy wherever he, she is. Hoping her he has big ears so that he, she can hear him. Hoping too she, he's not cross with us for what we've done. Did I plant in the world today? Did I add to its color?